Yes?
I received this cassette in the mail.
Dear nephew, I'm certain you do not remember me, except perhaps in family photographs or fireside legend, but an unanticipated turn of events has required your most prompt presence here at the Institute.
Ah, you are Mr. Flanders.
Yes.
A security clearance ID, please.
I beg your pardon?
One moment, please.
Yes, Cynthia.
Sir Seymour, Mr. Flanders has arrived, but he does not have clearance.
Oh, he's quite cleared. Send him in.
Sir Seymour is in the aviary, first door to your left.
Thanks.
Ah, Flanders, so good of you to come. I am a Seymour Jowls.
Oh, Sir Seymour.
No. Uncle Seymour, my rascally brother Henry. You certainly do not call Lord Jowls, I safely presume.
Well, actually, I do call him Lord.
Tea. Precisely time for tea. Hand me that barn owl perched over there, will you?
Oh, sure. What?
Quite all right. Synthetic. Solid-state components, all that sort of thing. You know? Ah, thank you. There's a button under the wing. Ah.
Tea, Sir Seymour.
Pronto, Cynthia, pronto.
Will you be in the marshes?
Quite. I don't trust the birds here, especially the Chinese parrot over there. This way, nephew. Come on.
These birds. The vegetation. It's all artificial.
Quite. The Institute is engaged in some rather unique research.
Can you tell me some of it?
Of course not. Use your head, nephew.
Having a bug for an office, isn't that a little eccentric, Uncle Seymour?
Science is eccentric. Besides, there's a will of the wisp here somewhere.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Quite. Creepy thing. Ah, there's my favorite log.
But what kind of research did you do?
Secret. I can only discuss what is specifically related to your project.
My project?
Ah, nice dry log. Have a seat.
Uncle Seymour, what are you...
Move over, Mr. Frog. Be a good chap.
A mechanical frog?
Could be a spy from another department. You never know. They're all around me. Now, an odd phenomenon has existed through the history of humankind. The greatest inventions, the most major scientific discoveries have what is known as a coincidence factor.
For example,
some chap across the ocean will make an astounding discovery precisely at the same time as some chap over here. And what we have is not only the fantastic moment of realization when it all suddenly, almost magically, clicks into place, or what science has called the aha phenomenon, but we have also the same thing occurring at the same time somewhere else. Are you following me?
Yes.
Do you know the precise definition of the word occult?
Well,
the word occult simply means secret knowledge. Rather nice that, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Occultists claim scientific coincidence occurs because there are levels of existence beyond ours, and from these higher levels, the great ahas are released. Quite ridiculous, isn't it?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily? Good. My department is eager to send a man there.
I don't suppose you have a map.
Ah, Cynthia with the tea. I'm certain we'll find the laws of physics apply equally to the astral as to the physical.
There we are.
But the great ahas, as you call it, affects the destiny of all beings... Not only on the physical plane, but on
milk
other levels...
Milk or lemon, Mr. Flanders?
Milk. It's said that if you attempt to steal some great secret before people are ready to deal
Two
with it...
Two lumps, Mr. Flanders?
One. Uncle Seymour, don't forget Prometheus. Now, the gods didn't take to his stealing their fire.
Oh, Prometheus. It was years ago. The great secrets do not belong to the gods. They belong to all of us.
But, Uncle, what I'm saying is that...
Will
if you
that
plan
be
to steal,
all, Sir Seymour?
That will be all, Cynthia. We are not attempting to perform some sort of an unnatural act against the gods.
Well, I beg your pardon.
Hardly. All we want is just one aha.
Which one?
The great aha that can only be used for the benefit of all.
Like what?
The unified field theory of matter and energy.
You want to steal that?
Yes, we'd like that. Why not?
It's been an interesting meeting, Uncle.
Wait, I haven't made my proposal.
I know your proposal, and the answer is no dice.
The Institute will pay quite handsomely, I assure you.
No thanks, Uncle.
What if I told you that we actually have a map that specifies precisely where the Ahas are archived?
Where did you get a map?
Certain secret societies have been mapping the road, shall we say, for perhaps 4,000 or 5,000 years.
I'd like to see it.
Of course you would. See if you can catch me that mallard there, will you?
This one?
That's the one. Click on your feet. That's good. There should be a button beneath... Ah.
Yes, Sir Seymour.
Cynthia, bring in the map. Run along now.
Uncle, I'm not going to do your spying.
Spying?
Or stealing.
Have you never had the yearn to be a buccaneer?
No.
Here it is, Sir Seymour.
Quite. Open the box and remove the map, Cynthia.
It's a robe. A patchwork robe. This robe belonged to a dervish.
Precisely.
Where's the map?
That is the map.
Will that be all, Sir Seymour?
That will be all, sweet Cynthia.
How did you figure out that this robe is a map?
Wonders of modern technology, nephew. You see, when a dervish patches his robe, there is a reason that stretches beyond the mere covering of a hole.
What reason?
This particular dervish, we had reason to believe, had been hoofing it about in worlds unknown. By using a special computer, we were able to analyze one patch only. But in this one patch, we, excuse the expression, hit the jackpot. We know exactly where to find the archives that store the greatest ahas of mankind.
Where?
Within what we call the Forbidden City of Aha.
Forbidden City of Aha. What about the other patches?
God only knows.
I see. Well, how did you analyze a patch using a computer?
About a year ago, one of our programmers began feeding the exploits of the incredible Mullah Nasruddin and other Sufic stories into a computer and received answers, but answers impossible to grasp through deductive reasoning, you see?
Mm-hmm.
However, the exercise proved fruitful. We discovered that each pattern woven into the patch has a story, but to unweave the story, it was necessary to unweave the patch, alas.
Well, how did you get a hold of the dervish's robe?
I'm afraid I can't answer that.
No, Uncle, I admit you have aroused my interest, but still the answer is no.
Wait. There was one other item also deciphered from the same patch. Catch me that structure over there, will you?
The black one?
Yes.
Come here. I gotcha.
Thank you. Yeah. A switch in here somewhere in this wall. Now I believe we should have some results.
Music.
We know you've pursued this haunting melody across many strange and frightful lands. We know you've discovered the great green jade jukebox, the fabulous bodhisattva jukebox, and the wonderful world of wisdoms. But you did not find that which lured you across those mysterious realms. The source of this alluring music, the Lotus Jukebox.
You know where it is?
Within the walls where lies the unified field theory of matter and energy also stands the Lotus Jukebox.
What walls?
The walls of the Forbidden City of Aha.
How do you know?
Dear nephew, and what a pleasant coincidence, and how profitable for the both of us.
All right. What's your proposal?
A most fair and even trade. We give you the location of the Lotus Jukebox, and you give us the unified field theory.
Goodbye, Uncle.
Oh, wait, I say, nephew, don't be so hasty.
Forget it.
Name your price.
All right. My price is the robe.
Out of the question! Those patches contain a wealth of knowledge that we have not even begun to...
Sorry, see you around, Seymour.
Damn it, Flanders! Money. I'm offering you money. More money than you've ever dreamed of. Flanders! All right, you can have the bloody robe.
It's a deal.
doesn't want money. My God, what a generation.
One dervish robe for one unified field theory, right? Come. I take the robe with me.
Going to pass yourself off as a dervish?
I might. Now, which way to the forbidden city of Aha? It's
Chief Wampum. Yes.
Chief, what are you doing here in New Mexico?
I am your Indian shaman, you see.
Oh, come on, Chief. Don't give me that.
You think I'm not an Indian?
Okay, you're an Indian, but where did you learn to be a shaman?
From the 12 famous shaman school.
Oh, come on, Chief. I never heard of a 12 famous shaman school.
That is because you know Smokum.
Huh?
On the back book mat, it's a send-in coupon. Study with the 12 famous shaman. So?
And no qualifications?
Oh, yes. Must be Indian.
Oh, boy. Tell me, how long did it take you to become a full-fledged shaman?
I study for many moons.
I see. And I take it you've learned the shaman's secrets.
I've missed maybe one or two.
Give me an example.
I learned the tongue of many creatures.
Which creatures?
I learned the silent language of the fish.
The fish?
Yes. Also, the language of the lizard.
The lizard, huh?
Yes. And the language of the crow, the coyote, the bear, the Mexican jumping bean, the snake, the pullywog, the weasel.
Wait. Hold on, Chief.
Yes?
Now, what's the language of the Mexican jumping bean?
Hoppy.
You mean Hopi?
No. Happy. Such a pun is hopeless.
Oh, no.
Even the age-old and very esteemed Dance of the Raindrop I perform with most, most reserve.
You mean a rain dance?
See?
When you do this dance, does it rain?
Does it rain? You bet him rain. You sit him down, very comfortable. Chief Wampum make him heap plenty rain.
And so Chief Wampum begins the age-old and very esteemed Dance of the Raindrops. The sun sets. The moon rises. Long into the night, the chief continues. Jack sits there in gloomy dismay. The moon sets. The sun rises. The chief stops. With great satisfaction, he points heavenward. Jack looks up. Something flashes in the sky. And then, suddenly...
One drop?
Yes.
Forget the rain dance, okay? I came here to ask you something. Where can I find what's known as Eagle's Rock? Tell me, is it very high in the mountains?
See?
Look, Chief, as soon as you catch your breath, do you think we can get started?
Of course. But the location of the Eagle Rock must remain a shaman secret, you see.
Oh, of course, I see. But Chief...
Hold still, please. Hold still.
Chief, why are you tying that around my knee?
Well, shaman say he must blindfold the pale shin, you see.
Pale shin? Are you sure?
Mm,
Chief, yes. Chief, maybe it's blindfold the pale skin.
Oh.
Jack is blindfolded and led into the mountains. All day long they climb, higher and higher. The air thins and still they climb higher. Jack can feel the cool of the approaching evening, but still they climb higher. And then...
Hold him. I remove him blindfold. There.
One inch beyond the tip of his toes, the world ends. There before him is a vast nothing. It's as though Jack stands on the very rim of the world.
Good grief, Chief. Most inspiring view from Eagle's eye, you see.
Yeah, I see. Look, next time I'd appreciate it if you could let me know that I'm standing on the edge of a precipice. And speaking of eagles, Chief, just where is this Eagle's Rock?
Slowly the chief turns and points up, above Jack. Precariously balanced upon the very peak of the mountain is a large, round boulder.
So that's Eagle's Rock,
Oh, yes. Now I help you climb a dark rock. You squat him like the Grand Eagle.
No, just wait a minute, Chief.
You first, me follow.
No, I'm not going to climb up there and perch on that rock. Now, just hold on.
It is dead. Journey of 1,000 mile, end with very last step.
Yes, freight down. Now, let's think this one out.
Sunset, moon soon rise. No time for thinkum.
There must be a way.
I give you boost. You check him balance of rock.
All right, that sounds okay. Now take it easy. Easy, now, easy, Chief. This rock is barely balanced. The slightest weight will throw the whole thing off balance. Now, take it easy.
Try him.
You're kidding. I'm going to go rolling right down this mountain with this damn thing.
Try him anyway.
It's totally unreasonable. Now, let me down.
Where reason fails, the tip of my puja stick make a sound point. Hee hee.
With a sudden jab of the puja stick, Jack leaps high into the air. He lands atop the rock.
Ouch. Very funny, Chief. Very funny.
Puja very helpful for higher attainment, you see.
Okay, you've made your point. Now what?
The time rush very near. You must prepare yourself for the Grand Eagle's vision.
Okay, fine. How?
How?
Yes, how?
How?
Oh, come on, quit fooling, Chief. Now, this rock is shaky as hell.
You find him proper balance and begin him.
Proper balance? Chief, get me down from here.
Fitting an old shaman's mask over his face and taking up his hawk-faced medicine rattle, the chief begins a slow dance around the base of the Eagle's Rock.
Hey, Chief. Come on, Chief, what are you doing down there?
I prepare you for journey.
Well, it's getting cold up here now. Whatever you're doing, just hurry it up, huh?
Why not put him on robe of dervish you carry under armpit him?
Because I don't dare move, that's why. Now, will you help me down?
Okay, time come pretty near now. One last thing I warn you, no matter what, I warn, repeat, do not holler, help him.
Well, why should I holler, help him?
Soon you plenty stubby.
Suddenly, the full moon breaks the horizon. An enormous orange ball that so startles Jack, he flattens against the rock like a lizard. And lucky that he does, because in that same instant, the chief grabs the side of the rock and gives it a fierce spin. The rock whirls round and round. The chief dances extravagantly. Jack hollers loudly. The rock spins rapidly. The moon flashes into Jack's vision and out again. In and out, as it spins round and round. The chief dances more furiously, spinning the rock faster and faster, until Jack's vision of the moon flashes like a comet that blurs and stretches into a solid streak of light, spinning round him like the rings of Saturn. Jack hangs on desperately, trying not to scream help. Suddenly the rings expand, bursting into a blur of rainbow hues. Stars, comets, worlds, galaxies explode and shower outward. The universe is one great sky rocket bursting and bursting again. Suns, planets, solar systems, whole galaxies are flung outward as though they were one gigantic slow motion explosion in a jelly bean factory. A light more brilliant than 1,000 suns. And the... Oops, his world is tilting. Jack's perch is beginning to wobble. He's slipping over the edge. The rock has lost its balance. He's seized with fear. He's toppling over the edge. He opens his mouth and...
It's ridiculous. I've never seen trees like this. Or these flowers. These odd tubular blooms. They must be 7 feet in length. Like trumpets. If I break off the stem and blow... It's not bad. One could probably summon for help. Help. Oh, now I remember. That's what I wasn't supposed to say. Help him. Well, I may as well try to find out where I am. Oh, dear place. is that? Oh, I better find me another flower. Here's one. It seems to be coming from over this way. A clearing. That sound may... God, that's an odd creature. It's not a dwarf. I've never seen a troll before, but this is, that's a troll.
Can you tell me where I am?
No.
Or is there anyone in these parts that can tell me?
There be.
Well, what are you holding your hand out for?
First, you pay the fee.
The fee?
Gold.
Gold? Look, I don't have any gold.
Try to remember.
Well, if I had a watch or a ring, maybe, but I don't. I don't have any gold.
Gold!
I don't have any... What are you pointing... What are you pointing at my mouth for? What about my mouth?
Teeth.
So there's teeth.
Gold.
My fillings. I see. No dice.
No dice. What gold?
No. Now look, Shorty, there's nothing I can give you.
That.
This? Oh, you mean this, tucked under my arm. Well, it's just a robe.
So.
Okay, I'll hold it up for you. There.
I try on.
Look, it's three times your height, see?
See.
Hey, he grabbed my robe. Hey, you little... Squirt, come back here.
The troll scampers across the clearing and hot-foots it into the woods, the robe flapping behind him. Through the woods goes the chase. The troll's little legs a blur while Jack's long legs, taking one step to the troll six, quickly closes the gap. The trail twists and turns. Jack ducks low limbs and leaps treacherous roots. Long, fragrant trumpet flowers that hang from strange trees flash past as the pair streak along at breathless speed. But what happens next happens so fast, even the troll's swift instincts can't avoid it. For up ahead, a long trumpet flower hangs over the trail. The clever troll ducks beneath, never losing a beat. But Jack leaps and snaps the flower from its stem, and landing again, he comes to a screeching halt. The curious troll slows his pace. Jack inhales a tremendous breath of air. So voluminous a breath that the troll is almost sucked backward. Jack's chest expands and expands, puffing out like a small zeppelin. The trumpet flower is to his lips, and in the next moment, a deafening blast. So powerful a roar that the troll is knocked right out of the dervish's robe, blown off his feet, blasted across the ground, over and over and up and over the tops of the trees, and he's gone from sight.
A punk. Now I'm really lost. Music. It seems to be coming from the side of that hill. A cave. The music is coming from inside that cave.
Cautiously, Jack enters the cave.
I'm not going to walk into a nest of trolls.
Further and further into the cave creeps our hero. Now he can see a faint glow coming from deep within.
Probably a fire. So there must be a vent in the ceiling to let the... Holy smokes!
Before Jack is a large room. Long, sharp stalactites hang like viper's fangs from the ceiling. In the center is an open fire. Against the shadowed walls are all sorts of strange apparatus. The smoke twists upwards into a tiny hole at the top of the cavern. A great cauldron bubbles upon the fire. And leaning over the cauldron is a strange sight indeed. An old fellow, wearing a top hat and a sleek black tuxedo. The coat and pants are embroidered with the most remarkable designs. The moon, in all its phases, circles his back. In the center of his chest is the sun. Saturn is tilted with the rakish tilt of his top hat. Mercury, Venus, and Jupiter spin about his feet. The Big Dipper has settled upon his left sleeve. Upon his right sleeve is the constellation of Orion. And in between all this are thousands of stars that blink and shimmer as the tuxedo ripples to the movements of the old soft shoe. Well, by now it must be pretty clear to all that Jack has wandered into the outlandish wizard's cave.
What was that?
Oh, excuse me.
Consternation. You scared me half to death. Look, Orion just blinked out.
Oh, I'm sorry, really, but I
sorry,
need to ask...
Sorry, you trolls don't know what sorry is.
Troll? Look, I'm not a troll.
Dad, you've got to be the longest troll I've ever seen.
I'm not a troll.
Why not?
Well,
You stand tall among trolls.
Look, I am not a troll.
There's all different kinds of trolls, you know.
Well, I suppose there are, but I
mean
wanna...
ones live in rocks. Call them rock trolls.
Well, that's very interesting, but...
And there's marsh trolls. Smelly little fellows full of marsh gas.
I see.
Yep. And there's snow trolls. You say, you a troll? And they say, snow.
Oh, God.
There's leaping leaf trolls, rumpity-tumpity trolls, and there's three-toed tree trolls.
I think it was the rumpity-trumpity one that I ran into.
There's also what's known as common troll or mill troll or common run-of-the-mill troll.
Yeah, right. I know. Yep. Right. Well, this one... This rumpity-trumpity troll, it was a real punk.
Punk troll?
It was about this high.
Well, that's the size of a rumpity-trumpity troll. I like that punk troll.
Maybe you can help me.
Didn't get any of your teeth, did he?
Oh, no, he didn't. He did get this rope here, though, but I got it back.
Is that a magic rope?
This? Well, I don't think so.
It's nice patchwork. Lucky he's in a magic robe. Those fool trolls don't know how to handle magic.
Oh, they don't.
Yeah, they get singed.
Well,
nothing smells worse than a singed troll.
Yeah, I can believe that. Look, what I want to ask
you... Dangerous stuff, you know. Magic.
Well, it certainly looks like you know a lot about that.
Yeah, I know. You want to know something, tall troll?
Look, my name is Jack Flanders.
I don't just know magic. Look at me. You ever see anyone so magical?
Well, as a matter of fact, no.
I'm so charged with magic, all I need to do is snap my fingers and...
Look out!
Rick, what are you doing? Close, yeah.
Oh, right. I suppose just scratching your head, you have to be pretty careful, huh?
Yeah, you said it. But not as perilous as snapping the... Whoa!
Come on, stop that!
Stuff's dangerous, like I said. Is that you?
Gee, I hope not.
You sure it's not you? Smells like it could be a tall troll.
Honest, it's not me, but something is. Something's burning.
Yeah, it's around here somewhere.
Hey, it's the back of your tuxedo.
What? Oh, quick, that bucket.
Where?
Right there. Right there. Get that bucket.
No, stay still.
Yeah,
stop dancing around.
All right, I'm still. Oh.
There. It's out.
Look at this. You made a hole big as an elbow right through my tuxedo tail.
Don't worry about it. It can be patched.
Yeah. Burn a hole right through Andromeda, too. And damn lightning. You think it's difficult to fix this?
Oh, no. It'll be a snap.
A snap?
No.
You're right, bub.
More or less.
Well, that's the way it goes. Yeah, see, I'm there. Rather dry. Nothing sadder than a wet troll, I'll tell you. Where were we, anyway?
Well, let's see. Oh, yes, you were about to tell me where I can find the archives that store mankind's greatest ahas.
I was about to tell you that.
Yes.
You're a sly, lying troll, ain't you?
Look, I keep trying to ask you, but you keep
cutting
me
off.
Yeah, right.
All right. You fell short.
Well, how short?
About 4 leagues.
Well, how far is that?
It depends if it's a major or minor league.
I'm going to let that one pass.
Well, what you do, you travel on land for 1 league and on water for 2 leagues, and then you reach the Misty Isle.
Oh, Are the archives on an island, huh?
Yep, Misty Isles.
Well, what about the last league?
You stand on your last league.
Mm-hmm. I take it this island is a dangerous place to set foot on, huh?
You want the wizard should embellish?
Yes, I would appreciate that.
Let me provoke this kettle. Why don't you sit for a spell?
Sit for a spell? Another joke, huh?
No joke.
Oh.
As the wizard stirs the huge cauldron, thick vapor rises in great grayish puffs, as though puffed from the stack of a steam locomotive. Puffs of vapor that contain arms and legs, suggestions of creatures floating upward to the ceiling. Elusive puffs, beasts long extinct, creeping from out of the primordial unconscious. The wizard stirs on. Puff after puff transforms itself into wondrous shapes. There's majestic temples for gods long gone from man's memory. Architecture, lyrical music, frozen in space, rises gloriously out of the mist, and then slumps back, groaning, monsters. With each creation, there is instant class of the ugly, disgust, evil, certainly, and the good, virtuous, grand, and innocent. But now the images emerge. Beauty dissolves back into our heart. Good dissolving into evil, or is the evil into good? No longer is possible to make this distinction. Jack's mind, demons, and goddesses, They shriek and howl, laugh and whisper, and chant. Jack opens his mouth to scream, when suddenly out of his mouth,
leaps a unicorn,
a swift, wild creature, with eyes, flashlight, lasers, wizards, the creatures of the creatures, suddenly severed, blinding, white flash.
Quite impressive.
That was a nice performance, wizard.
I try my best, but that unicorn of yours, nice trump card there.
You know, that's happened before. I wish I could understand it.
No, never will. Nope. No one ever domesticated a unicorn, believe me. But, now you want to find those archives, so take you to the lake and find you a boat and give you a shove in the right direction.
You say it's out here on the lake, huh?
Yep. You'll find a walled city.
The forbidden city of Aha?
Uh-huh, indeed. But the walls have only one entrance.
Hmm. Is it guarded?
The entrance is also the exit.
Yeah, but is it guarded?
Wear that robe of yours.
Oh, so they'll think I'm a dervish.
It may.
It may?
Ah, I see. The moon is rising. You can see the moon.
Oh, wait, just a minute. What is this, it?
The fabulous beast.
How fabulous.
It has the head and wings of an eagle, and the body of a lion.
Good grief, a griffin.
With eyes big as your fist, and green as emeralds.
You mean that thing guards the gates?
It's only stone.
Ah, oh. That's a relief.
So they say.
You mean you don't know?
No, never been there.
Well, why not?
If I ever win, I couldn't resist a pilfer or something.
Oh, I see. Oh, here's the lake. Is that the boat?
They say that whoever attempts to steal sequins from the gods will have his gizzard ripped out by the griffin.
Wonderful. Well, wizard, I'd like to thank you for your help.
Even wizards have got to eat.
A what?
You know, the wizard's fee.
The wizard's fee? Look, you're not getting my teeth.
What do you think I am, a troll?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean
Bring
that.
Bring these back. The alchemist stone will be even.
The alchemist stone?
Well, how about the Holy Grail?
The Holy Grail? Look, I'll be lucky if I can get out of there with my skin.
Well, how about a patch for Andromeda here?
But this is not my robe. Yeah. Oh, all right, sure, here. Which one do you want?
I like that pretty one there.
It's yours.
Thank you. You want a receipt?
No. Look, I have one other question.
Hmm.
After I get inside the Forbidden City, will it be difficult to find the archives?
Nah. They say that once you're in, it's a snap. Whoops! Oh, no!
And so with a flash and a splash, Jack and the wizard part. Jack paddles his small craft out upon the silvery moonlit waters of the lake. Wisps of mist appear before him. He paddles on. Soon a long, dark shadow stretches out across the horizon.
There appear to be hills. Maybe nine. And things glistening in the moonlight. I can't make out what they are.
Jack nears the island. From out of the thick foliage, shining black and silver in the moon, the sounds of night creatures reach his ears.
There's something. Flames. Looks like torches. I better move carefully. I don't know if there's such a thing as a friend around here. That sound. This? A moving road? Well, it's a nice way to travel, if it's safe.
Jack steps upon the moving road, and immediately he's swept along at a convenient clip. Ominous shadows cast by the passing torches swiftly rise and fall as Jack glides along this remarkable road. Shapes dark and foreboding. Shadows from civilizations long sunk beneath the restless seas. Here in this forbidden realm, their shadows still rise and fall with the passing of our traveler from the world that we know.
There's someone else on this road. The road is moving against him, yet he's moving toward me. I think it's time to put on the rope.
An odd feeling passes through Jack as he puts on the dervish's robe.
My friend, you're moving the wrong way.
Can you tell me where I'm headed?
You're headed the opposite and wrong way, my friend.
Well, why do you say that?
I follow the natural flow of the road.
From here, it looks like you're going against the flow.
Again, you are wrong, my friend. For where flows the one true way, I surely follow.
Oh, bull.
Followers of the adventures of Jack Flanders may well be shocked. For never before has Jack been the first one to strike a blow or give a swift kick, sending the man up in the air. And off the road, rolling and tumbling into the underbrush. Can it be our hero is fed up with all this spiritual stuff?
That was good for him.
If you say so. The road turns, and suddenly right there before him is the massive walls of the forbidden city of Aha.
There's the gates, but they're closed.
Something in the moonlight catches his attention. Jack looks up and sees, squatting there, atop the walls, directly above the heavy carved gates, squatting as only terrifying mythical beasts can squat, a gigantic stone griffin. Enormous wings are folded sleekly down along the powerful body of a lion. Its paws are as big as boulders, with claws long and deadly as a Turk's curved scimitar, and its great eagle's head, with its piercing emerald eyes, squinting down upon all those that dare pass below. Is that creaking the sound of a gigantic neck beginning to bend forward so those great squinting eyes can peer more closely? Or is it the sound of the gates slowly opening? In another moment, the road has taken him past the griffin and inside the walls.
That's behind. The archives are most likely near the center of the city if I can... Look at that. Those things I saw glistening above the island. They're towers.
Yes. Towers. Tall and lean. Rarely seen by man or woman. Except perhaps in restless dreams beneath the full of a moon. Towers, sweeping up to heavenly heights.
Whoa. And
way up there. Attached to the very tips of the towers are hanging bridges thin as webs, strung back and forth from steeple to turret, to dome, to spire, to minaret.
I wonder who's crazy enough to go walking around up there. That's interesting. Only the main road is moving. The side streets are all stationary. It's odd that there's no one about. What's going on? It's funny. I didn't see anything. There again. I'm passing through something. Cross currents coming from off the side streets. It's as though I'm passing through invisible walls. I feel myself wanting to go with them. Steady.
Music. So sweet. Each note is like a little winged cherub that plucks at his elbows, gently picking him up and off the moving road. How beautiful is this side road he moves along. Lovely gardens, pools and fountains that sparkle like diamonds in the moonlight.
Hey, wait a minute. No, put me down. These are diamonds.
And so they are. The pools are heaped with precious jewels. Rubies and sapphires shimmer beneath the surface, while diamonds spray into the air, falling back down and spilling about his feet. There are trees of pure gold, covered with pearls like clusters of cherries that softly tinkle while stroked by the perfumed breeze.
So rich.
Jack begins to fill his pockets. Fistfuls of rubies and emeralds, kilos of diamonds, bushels of pearls are poured into these cavernous pockets. And when he can fit no more, he turns and heavily shuffles back to the old moving road.
Oh, I think I may overindulge it a bit. Oh, if I can just make it onto the road. It'll carry me all right. That is, if I can get my foot up. There. Phew. Something feels funny. My boots. They're sinking into the road. I can't raise. I'm up to my ankles. I'm sinking. One of us is melting, me or the road. It's just past my waist. Help! I'm up to my chest. God, hey, anyone. The road is turning into a river. I'm sinking beneath. Help!
He sinks like a rock, straight to the bottom. He's emptying his pockets as fast as he can, but there's no end to these pockets. Finally, he's down to his last rock. A pearl of breathtaking beauty. Now, removed from his pocket, he begins to rise. What was that? Oh, he says this is no easy place to pilfer. He breaks through the surface and is swept along by the swift current. Buildings flash past. He reaches out, trying to grasp a doorstep or window ledge, but the current is too swift. Ahead are rapids. Jagged rocks like sharp teeth chew the river into a froth. Water foams white, swirls and tumbles over and over and right over the edge of the world. Straight down falls Jack in the water. He opens his hand, and the last pearl is swept away.
I'm back on the road. What a trip. Those side streets are rigged. So whatever your weakness is, ping, off you go. The whole place is booby-trapped.
A huge shape looms before him.
A polyhedron with a polygonal base and triangular faces meeting in a common vertex right smack in the center of the city.
Reaching the base, the road begins its ascent up the long, sloped face of this vast pyramidal structure. Up he's taken, high above the city, but higher still are the spires with their delicate spider-woven bridges. interesting. There's a door at the very apex. The road continues right in through the door. And now, down, down into blackness. It's like a black crypt. Has to be the archives of the greatest Ahas. A lot of good it'll do me. I can't see a thing. What's this? A box of matches in my pocket? It can't be dry. Look at this. The walls. Why, they're lined with ancient tablets and scrolls. They must date back to the dawn of man and woman.
With the strike of each match, eerie shadows leap back and forth, while deeper and deeper Jack is taken into these vast, endless archives.
Corridors go on for miles. It's moving from the dawn of humanity, far, far into the future. These titles are symbols. I just don't understand. A nice pickle. I can't decipher a thing.
The road forks. Jack chooses the right fork. Again it forks. He chooses the left fork. But again it forks. He chooses the left fork. But again it forks. And again, until he's in a maze of corridors. He blows out the match and travels in blessed darkness, letting the road take him where it will.
It's so dark in here, I can't see the nose on my face. Let's see where I am now. Is that my nose? Oh!
You frightened me, Willis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You are not.
No, really, I am.
Ah, I know you dervishes. Come whirling in here, stirring up dust. You sneak around and scare oneself. I could be pried out of my skin.
I am sorry. Now, are you the keeper of the archives?
I am the keeper of the archives.
Tell me, how do you see in the dark?
For a dervish, you're not too bright.
Well, I was just wondering.
Oh, I remember the old days. Stately dervishes strode through here, their souls radiating light. So pure, so intense, brilliant. Ah, made your eyes pop.
Oh, really?
Look at you.
Well, that's what I'm looking for. I think maybe you could help.
I see in the dark by remaining perfectly still.
Well, that's terrific.
Something you ought to practice.
Yeah, I see.
I see. They all say I see. What can they see?
Look, what? I am looking for the unified field theory of matter and energy.
Ah, the physicist's dream.
What?
You've come to the right place. Oh. Come on. Come this way. Over here.
Tell me, do outsiders come here very often?
Lately, it's the ones that sneak into the city to steal our sacred secrets. But few ever make it this far.
Oh. But do they escape?
All through the ages of man, people try to steal from the very gods that look after them. Shameful.
Well, do they escape with the secrets?
Revealing even one of the great ahas affects not only the course of the world, but the whole universe. Such decisions cannot be placed in the short-sighted hands of humans. Here it is.
Oh. It's in a box.
It's a heavy theory.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Well, thank you very much.
Are you not going to look inside?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, yeah. I still have one question.
Ah, about Sir Seymour.
Oh, sorry, I dropped the box.
Scientists become awfully eager, but administrators become even more eager. Sir Seymour has been a real first-class nit. Equipping people, sending them up here, trying to lift this very theory.
Oh? And, they didn't succeed?
Well, We have an open-door policy to dervishes, whirling and otherwise. You're welcome to come in and browse. Looking is one thing. Lifting is another. I wouldn't care to be in their shoes.
What happens?
The guardian up the gate.
No! The griffin? I'm sorry, I dropped the box again.
Are you not going to look inside?
Yes, of course. I'd like to see what this unified theory looks like. Like it's all there. Thank you.
When you're through looking, you know where it belongs. Stick dervish. I see. What do they see?
Up out of the archives, the moving road takes our hero back out through the doorway and into the moonlight. Down the pyramidic face of the great archives, Jack rides the road, but when it reaches the ground level, it's that old familiar song.
That's it.
The city suddenly bursts into color, as though a rainbow had tipped right over, falling flat upon the city. Colors blast off the sides of buildings and ricochet down streets. Greens, blues, magentas splash and splatter the air. A cloudburst of colors cascading, cataracting, spilling and swirling, spouting into the night sky and sweeping the city like a beacon.
Beacon. It's coming from the top of one of those spires.
The moving road suddenly rises off the ground like a giant cobra and springs for the nearest spire. It wraps itself around, begins to spiral upward. Up and around it goes as though commanded by Jack's overwhelming desire to reach the source of that taunting celestial music.
Lotus jukebox, here I come.
Up and up he goes, high above the city.
Almost to the top. The jukebox is somewhere across the top of the city. I'll have to cross those hanging bridges to... What's that?
A black shadow flashes across the city. Something large has passed the face of the setting moon. But Jack has reached the top.
There it is.
There it is, indeed. Balanced upon the topmost tip of the tallest spire is the grandest Wurlitzer of Wurlitzer's Wurlitzers, the Lotus Jukebox.
Aha!
Solid glass, as clear as a diamond, cut like a great prism. Its colors changing, gliding through the spectrum, radiating outward, bathing and blessing the city with the brilliance and purity of a celestial crystalline prism. From spire to spire across these frail hanging bridges, the road takes Jack.
There's something in the sky. I can see two emerald stars. They appear to be growing larger, as though they're nearing. Strange how they resemble eyes. Holy cow! They are eyes!
With a great shriek, the griffin strikes. The fierce beak snaps the bridge in two and the griffin's gone. The severed road dangles in the air, writhing like a dissected worm in the dying moonlight. Jack hangs on for dear life. The road desperately stretches out and flops against the neighboring spire, wraps around and continues across the next bridge. But again, Jack sees the two emerald stars rapidly approaching. And again, the griffin attacks like a dive bomber out of the black sky. Screeching down, Jack leaps to the next spire as the great claws and mighty beak rip the bridge from its moorings and flings it earthward like a limp noodle, splattering on the streets far below. Once more, the great beast descends like a medieval dive bomber.
Oh, I'm trapped.
And then, with a hair-raising shriek, you're found, Jack. But, boom! brilliant, blinding flash of white light, and from Jack's eyes leaps the unicorn. The griffin comes to a screeching halt in midair. The fearless unicorn springs at the griffin. The deadly horn aimed at the griffin's throat. The griffin rears back. The great beast, the huge paw attempts to parry the unicorn's beast. Body of a lion. Head wings of an eagle. No match for a great griffin.
But the unicorn is swift.
Razor sharp.
The fearful
unicorn. One squat from the griffin's paw, and it is the unicorn all over the stars.
What's the time to make tracks across that bridge? A final leap onto the soft petals of that giant lotus. Here I am. The lotus jukebox. I'll put a nickel in this thing and see what... What? My hand. It's sunk right into it. It's not a solid substance. I'm falling into it. Help! Help! I'm being swallowed. Help! Chief.
Yes?
Where was I?
Away.
Yes. I fell into the lotus jukebox.
Yes.
Now I'm back here.
Yes.
Why?
No matter how fantastic the journey, we always return to here, you see.
Yes. The box. The box with the unified field theory. I had it right here in my hand.
Come, please. The box was sent to the Institute, you see. Oh. For you.
For me? Hello? Oh, Uncle Seymour. You got the theory all right. Oh, no. It should all be there. What do you mean, a mess? Well, I did drop the box once or twice. At least I have all the pieces. What? What? Some of your people are saying there's particles in there that don't belong? They don't fit? They want to throw them out? Uncle, goodbye. So much for that. Chief.
Yes?
I still don't understand. All that I went through to reach that jukebox, and when I got there, I discovered that the lotus jukebox is actually a giant prism. It radiates the most fantastic colors when it plays.
And then what?
Well, I tried to put a nickel in to play a song, and the darn thing swallowed me up.
It is the old familiar song of life, you see.
Hmm?
Does one play the jukebox, or does the jukebox play one?
Very profound, Chief.
Not as profound as the lyrics.
What lyrics?
If I had the wings of an angel, over these prism walls I would fly.
Oh, no.